brought your Bibles and want to follow along, you can go ahead and be turning to Isaiah. Isaiah 43. We will be there in just a moment. I hope that you all have had a fantastic holiday break. I know that Lad Pete did. Did everybody else enjoy it? Now, you guys can do better than that. Did you enjoy it? Yes. Is it still going on for you? Good. When do kids go back to school? Wednesday, Thursday? So we need to have a prayer for parents this morning. No, I'm kidding. I hope that you've had a chance to slow down a little bit over the last few weeks and really enjoy this time, as always, to be able to focus on family, what's really, really, truly important in life. I hope that you've had a chance to stop and reflect a little bit on 2016, and then I hope this morning you're ready as we flip the switch and begin looking at a brand new year, as 2017 is now on us. It has begun, and prayerfully, it's going to be the best year yet for all of us individually and for us collectively, and I hope that you are excited about what this year is going to bring for you in your life. If you're not, I'm glad you're here. If you're scared about this year, if you're scared at the potential of this year, there's lots of unknowns maybe for you. I'm glad that you are here, because I want us to spend some time this morning beginning a brand new series of messages entitled Better Together. We are going to begin looking this morning a little bit. We're going to introduce it a little bit, and then we're really going to jump into it next week at this idea that as a body of believers, as a body of people, we are always better together. And how we grow together and love together and serve together is really an indication of our personal commitment and personal relationship with God. And we're going to be looking at that. But I want us to start this morning with this idea of how to have a fresh start to a new you. And I want us to look at that a little bit through the lens of Isaiah 43. And I want us to see what is written in these two verses, and then I want us to dig in a little bit about how to do that, about how to begin new. How many of you are into New Year's resolutions? Any of you? Nobody in here does New Year's resolutions? How many of you here do not do New Year's resolutions? Wow. Every single one of you almost. All right, well, I get it. New Year's resolutions, if you're not careful, are just good intentions. And good intentions really don't get you very far. You know, I can get up and say, hey, I'm going to work out more. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to save more. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to give up that. And those are all really good things. What I want us to talk about this morning is not about a New Year's resolution, but is a new strategy for your life. Because I believe a new strategy is what will ultimately lead to change in your life and in my life. I believe a new strategy for how we live and how we look at ourselves and how we relate with one another and how we experience life and how we experience relationships and how we deal with sin in our life and how we deal with failure and how we struggle with what to do and what not to do and how we struggle to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And all of us this morning can very simply say, hey, this year is going to be a better year, but how is it going to be different? I want us to look at that for a little while. Notice Isaiah 43, picking up in verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want you to get this idea of something new. I mean, it's a new year. It begins today. The whole idea that all things new belong to God. I mean, you look at Revelation 21 and this whole idea that I've made all things new, and when we get into that beautiful, beautiful, eternal dwelling of heaven. But the idea that we are a new creation in Christ, the idea that we serve in newness of spirit and we walk in this new life, this idea of being created new, the idea of something being new originates with God. He created us from nothing. We were a new creation. He's offered us salvation so that we can begin anew. He offers us second chances so that we can begin new again for the second, third, fourth, fifth time. So we get this idea of new. But when you look at Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, you understand and you get a significant insight into the heart and the mind of God, and that is this: God is far more concerned with your future than he is with your past. God is far more concerned with what you're going to do with today, tomorrow, and the rest of this new year than what you did with the last year. That's great, but it's also bad. It's great in that if you messed up a bunch last year, all that can be wiped away. We can move forward and do something new. Where it's a challenge is this, is if you live in the past and you celebrate the past and you're nostalgic about the past and you hang on to the past and you rest on the past and you live almost as if you're looking backwards, as if we can just bring back the old days and if we could just have things this way and if we could just do it like this or we could just do it like that. The struggle is we find ourselves constantly living, longing for the former things. I believe God has got a tremendous opportunity in front of us to use his word, to use his resources to meet today's challenges, which is to share with a world that he loves them, that he cares for them, and that he's using us and them to be instruments of light in a very, very dark world. Now, we get all this stuff. We do. I mean, we get it. You know, we nod our heads at this kind of stuff. And for those of you who don't think that we live in the past, here's a great indication of if you live in the past. If you still wear bell bottoms, if you still wear butterfly collars, how many of you still wear butterfly collared? How many of you wear those kind of shirts? Any of you any more? Pete does, a few of you. You know, how many of you still have a fro? I mean, you get the perm and you like to kind of tease your hair. Anybody? No ladies, just guys. I know there's some ladies that do that. You know, it's really interesting to see how guys dressed. In a lot of ways, men will dress the way that they dress today is a lot of the way that basically wherever they were in their life when they were the most successful. And they dressed that way. And times can change and times can move on, but they will still dress the way that they did when they were at most successful in business and in life, because that's what, for them, hey, this was the pinnacle of my career, and I wore whatever I wore. I'm so glad that I don't wear what I wore when I was in my early 20s and in my late teens. I'm glad you guys don't do your hair the way you did it back in the 70s and 80s. Right, ladies? You know, the whole mullet, that thing in the 80s, the business in the front, party in the back. I mean, I don't get that Randy Travis look. I don't get that. But there are a whole lot of people who spend their life looking back and longing to be that and longing to go back to that. And what I believe God is challenging us to do this morning and today as we read through some of these scriptures is to turn and face him. And to focus our lives on him and to realize that there is a completely better you out there. A you that is more Christ-like. A you that lives closer after the image of his son. A you that can meet today's challenges with a fresh message from God through his word. Now, the challenge with that is it's hard. It's very, very hard because we get very, very comfortable. We get very, very comfortable in our ways. We get very, very comfortable living the way that we live. We get very, very comfortable with our heart being the way that our heart is. We get very, very comfortable thinking the way that we think. We get very, very comfortable looking at people the way that we look at people. We get very, very comfortable talking about people the way that we talk about people. And we come to these times and, you know, in a season, in a year where we have an opportunity to start all over and to refresh and to hit the reset button and begin anew, and we give it lip service. And in reality, this year, for some of us, is going to be just like last year. We're going to be just as bitter. We're going to be just as judgmental. We're going to be just as critical and gossipy and all this other kind of stuff. Nothing is truly going to change. Except we're going to do something different this morning. We're going to talk about a strategy that will help us. One of the things that we're going to be doing this year is using the life of David. And we're gonna look at different aspects of his life as we move through our messages this year. As we look at what would it look like to be a church after God's own heart? What would it look like to fulfill that? What would it look like to align our heart with God's heart? And we're going to do lots of different things with that, and we're going to look at several different things. But one of the things that we're doing that is we're kicking off this new year, and you've heard about this, with a month of prayer. As you leave this morning in the foyers, there's a little handout that you can grab. If you're into technology, it's on the website. There's a listing for every day. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is the staff, all of us, hopefully you, are going to be participating in this, where every day there is a theme for the day to pray through and to spend some quality time this very first part of the year focused on gratitude, focused on aligning our heart with God's heart, on focusing on trying to see ourselves the way God sees us, on asking God to help us see the areas in our life that need to change, of seeing sin in our life that needs to be gotten rid of seeing things in our life that have gone well that we need to capitalize on and do more of. And hopefully as we finish this first month, we'll find ourselves beginning to see God working in our life. So I want us to do something. I want us to start right now. I want us to start now, and I want to encourage you just for a moment. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you a moment of silence in the middle of the prayer for you to pray for whatever it is on your heart, but specifically around this idea of a new beginning. What in your life needs a new beginning? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship with a child, a relationship with a parent. Maybe it's a relationship with a brother or a sister here, or with leadership here, or with somebody at work, whatever it is. I'm going to give about a minute of silence in there for you to say something very private and offer your own very, very specific prayer. Let's bow as we get started. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that we can come before you and that you know us, that you know us by name, that you know our heart. That Father, you know our weakness, you know our struggle. That even as I say this prayer right now, you look into my life and you see me for who I am. That even as I stand here and we worship together, you see deep into my heart and you see the hurt. You see the joy. Father, I just ask that you would be with us this morning as we study from your word. As we look at new beginnings that you offer us. And Father, I just ask that you open up every single heart that sits here this morning. And that, Father, for the next minute, you hear from them what's going on in their life. Father, it's a powerful thing to be able to come before you. And to Father, it's a humbling moment to just open up. But Father, I just pray that every heart was filled with your presence. That every heart knows that, Father, you are amazing, wonderful, awesome. And that the excitement and that the encouragement that you give us through your word and through your spirit to truly live motivates us and encourages us and inspires us to be more like your son. Father, be with us this morning. And it's through your son's name that we pray. Amen. How do we do this? How do we have a new beginning? How do we go from people who just have good intentions about wanting to be somebody different to truly being different people, to truly having a transformation that takes place in our life? We're going to start this morning with several ways. We're going to finish it tonight with one specific. But I want you to first look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, I want you to see this. Because if we're going to truly have a strategy that we can adopt through Scripture to help us transform by the renewing of our minds that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, we're going to first of all have to stop. We're going to have to stop. Now, that's difficult in our world, but here's why it's even more difficult. We're going to have to stop blaming other people. We're going to have to stop blaming and rationalizing and pointing fingers at everybody else for all the problems in our life. Notice Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. The starting point for us to have a new beginning has to begin with us being honest with ourselves. We have to stop passing the buck. We have to own up to who we are and the decisions that we've made and realize that I am who I am today, not because of my parents, not because of the government, not because of the education system, not because of the church, leadership, elders, deacons, ministers, Bible school teachers. I'm not who I am today because of all those outside influences. I am who I am today because of the choices that I have made. We have to begin by stopping. We have to stop blaming everybody else for our struggles. As soon as this changes, then I could be different. Well, if we just had this, or if we just had that, or if this would just happen, or if that would just happen, if we could just have a new president, if we could just have a new mayor, if we could just have a new city council, if we could just have a new group of leaders, if we could just have, and we could just have, and we could just have, all these things could be different, then things would be better. I would have loved to have had a chance to sit and talk with Paul. Can you imagine Paul sitting in prison? Can you imagine Paul sitting there going through all the things in his life? And before he could say, as chapter 4 and verse 4 in Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice, he would have had to have said to God, now wait a minute, God, if you could just get me out of this prison, if you could just tell people to stop beating on me, if you could just get rid of all these issues in my life, then I could be much more effective as an evangelist for you. No. He realized something that all of us need to realize. We must stop blaming people and others for our problems. Things are never going to get any better in our life until we look at ourselves and start there first. Things are never going to get any better in our relationship with God. Things are never going to get any better with relationship with brothers and sisters in churches. Churches are never going to get healthy emotionally, relationally, until they start looking at themselves instead of looking at everybody else. And when we're unwilling to open up and start with ourselves and we want to conceal all the transgressions that we have, we will fail to truly be who it is that God wants us to be. We've got to stop. Now that's scary. That is extremely scary because there's a lot of fear involved in that. It's a whole lot easier to feel good about yourself when you're pointing out all the flaws in everybody else. The challenge, though, is when you read Scripture, is to first and foremost apply it to you. Because I guarantee you this morning, we are in here this morning as we worship and as we sing and as we pray and as we give, and the things that we're going to read through Scripture, the verses that were read earlier by John as we remembered our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, all the things that we do apply first and foremost to me before they ever apply to you. How can we come to worship and think this is something that someone else needs to hear when in reality it's my heart that needs to change before anybody else's? Why is it that we can come to church and we think this is what the leadership needs to hear, and if the leadership would just do this, everything would get better, when we realize my heart is the one that needs to change before anybody else's? We have to stop blaming other people for our trouble. And we have to really and truly do the second thing, which is this. We have to take a long, hard look at ourselves. We have to take a long, hard look at where we are individually, where we are collectively. Where is our relationship with God? How strong is our faith? How deep is our faith? Why are we not growing? Why are we struggling with bitterness and gossiping and all the malice and anger and wrath? And maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's what? Why is it that I'm struggling with this stuff? And why is it that I'm okay with all of my problems and I'm not okay with everybody else's problems? Why is it that I can continue to live in sin, but I expect everybody else to get out of sin? Because there really is no true strategy. We have to stop blaming other people. And I want you to notice this. We have to take a long, hard look at ourselves. Notice Galatians chapter 3. I want you to see this verse. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? What's he saying there in verse 4? Did you suffer all these things in vain? In other words, have you not learned from all of your past experiences that you must live by the Spirit, not by the flesh? Have you not learned by what's happened in your life? Have you not taken an inventory and recognized that the personal experiences, the spiritual experiences, the vocational experiences, all these things that have happened in your life, have you not learned from those, not to living according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit? Here's the problem with experiences. They're a filter that we use to see life. You see life this morning based on the experiences that have happened in your life. What's happened to you in your career? What's happened to you personally with your emotional health? What's happened to you spiritually? That determines how you see life. Here's the problem with that. That will lie to you. Your experiences are not always true. Some of you this morning are very bitter and very guilty and carrying around a guilty conscience because of experiences that have happened in your life and that jaded you towards starting fresh, towards changing, towards giving up. I'll give you a perfect example. If you'd have told me 3 years ago that being a parent is the most awesome thing in the world, I would have said, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And then I had a second child. And if you tell me this morning that being a parent is one of the most absolutely awesome things in life, I'm going to look at you and go, we need to talk. Because my experiences don't line up with that right now. If you'd have said that 3 years ago, I would have said, absolutely. You know why? Because with one child, he was compliant. There really wasn't a whole lot of issues. Child number two came along and changed that whole thing. And now I view parenting completely different because my experiences have changed. So if I lived my entire life with one child, I would have said, being a parent is absolutely awesome, and for anybody who thinks otherwise, you are crazy. Now for those of you who sit in here and go, parenting is an awesome responsibility, and it gives me a massive headache, I would say, I agree. It's amazing, but it's painful. So that's how our experiences lie to us. And if we're not careful, we let our experiences define who we are instead of letting God define who we are. We live our life through the filter and the lens of how life happens, and it basically means that we become a victim of our circumstances. Instead of living on top of the circumstances as a child of God who's growing more into the image of Jesus, we end up becoming victim of our circumstances, and we live under those, and we become bitter and jaded and gossipy, gripey, angry people. And if everything would just change and people would be different and the government and schools and leaders, churches would all be different, all these circumstances that I live under that I'm the victim of, if all those would just go away, then I would be okay. Paul, I believe through the Spirit, is asking him this morning, have you not forgotten all the things that you've learned through Scripture? That we don't live according to the flesh. That we live according to the Spirit. That's a huge challenge for us. Because it means this morning we have to have some personal accountability. I want you to notice one more thing. Not only must we stop and take a hard look, but we also must act in faith. Matthew 9 and verse 29, this whole idea of what kind of faith do you have in Jesus this morning? Look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and verse 29. Let's pick up verse 27. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." What if we were to live our lives in such a way that God is saying to us, "According to your faith, be it done to you"? What kind of expectations of God do you have in your life? Here's the struggle with what we're talking about, starting new. We're going to finish this tonight. Is this. We are so scared to change. We're scared to stop being the way that we are. Because the world tells us to be one way. We learn another way to be that's in between kind of half world, half church, half Christian, half, you know, man-made worldly living. And we get there in that middle and we learn how to try to balance the two. And we end up being really good Pharisees. We end up knowing how to, on the outside, look the part, say the part, dress the part, act the part. But on the inside, we end up being worldly. And we end up going through life never truly changing and morphing into Jesus. We just get stuck. And it's all because we're scared. You're scared and I'm scared. You know, you think about Peter walking on water. And for those of you that have been to Israel and you've been able to go out on the Sea of Galilee and they shut the engines off on the boat and you sit there and you're kind of floating around and you sing, you know, the songs that we sing, "Master, the Tempest is Raging," all those. For me, to stand there, I almost lost my balance trying to pose for a picture with friends. It wasn't like a pose, but, you know, trying to get up on the bow of the ship, on the boat. And I lost my balance a little bit. And I looked down and I went, "Oh my goodness." And I stopped for a moment and I thought to myself, Peter wanted to walk to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Come to me." And as long as Peter was willing to focus on Jesus, he could step out of a boat, he could put his whole weight on water, and he could walk on water. He could be with Jesus. This morning, Jesus is calling us out of the boat. And all of us are scared to death. We're scared to stop being gossipy. We're scared to death to stop being bitter people. We're scared to death to change from addiction. We're scared to death to change. We're scared that something might happen and we might not like it and it might be difficult. We might let people down and we might fail. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, listen, you come to me, you focus on me, and according to your faith, it's going to be done unto you. Do you believe that God is God, church? Yes or no? Do you believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do? Do you believe that Jesus came to save us from our sins? Do you believe that Jesus is still calling us to live after his example? Then what are we waiting on, folks? Why are we sitting in the boat? Angry, bitter, gripey people sitting on a boat saying, "I can't get out and walk on water because there's too much of this and not enough of that. And if we had a better boat driver who could get us to a better place, and if the weather, God, if you could just make the weather better, then maybe I could." I don't know what it took for Peter to step out. But I'll tell you this. You make the first step to get out of the boat, I believe the Spirit's going to be right behind you, getting you going. Here's the thing. Do you want to have a new strategy to a fresh start, to a new you? Stop blaming other people. T, take a long, hard look at yourself. A, act in faith. And I tell you what, you're going to come tonight and you're going to find out R and you're going to find out T. But I tell you right now, what I believe every one of us needs, including myself, is a fresh start. What do you think? Just to begin a brand new year on the right footing. To spend the next 31 days in prayer, to really and truly say, you know what, this year's going to be different. And it's not just going to be different in word. I'm going to have a strategy behind this. I'm going to stop blaming other people. I'm going to take a long, hard look at myself. And I'm going to act in faith this morning to do something different. I'm going to step out of the pew. And I'm going to ask a brother to forgive me, a sister to forgive me. I'm going to step out of the pew and I'm going to come and ask God to forgive me. I'm going to step out of the pew and come and say, God, I've always wanted to be a follower of yours. I've always wanted to be a child of yours. I'm ready to be baptized. What would it look like for this family to just start fresh? What would that look like here with us as a family? Think about that for a moment. But also think about this. What would that look like to this community if there were 1,200 people who said, you know what, I'm starting something new. I've got a new strategy for living my life. Boy, I tell you, it would revolutionize not only our family, but it would revolutionize our impact in this community. Because Satan himself loves nothing more than for God's family to be so divided and angry and bitter at each other that they do nothing. We are always better together, and it starts this morning with us acting in faith. If you need to ask for forgiveness of sins, if you need to become a child of God, here it is. All you got to do is take that first step out of the pew and come while we stand and sing.